You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's with me today to talk about Noble Resources, their latest numbers. They just published some production numbers from July, and they are quite good, actually. They're really pretty much living up to the economic studies that the company did before they got started. Of course, always when new mines go into production, there are issues to start with. And now after the first few months of this year, it seems as though the company is actually hitting those metrics that the PEA suggested it could hit. And for me, as with this being one of my favorite companies, this is really very reassuring. So I'm really happy to have Quentin with me again to talk about the latest results and let us know how they've gotten to where they are at this point. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
You know, I think your production was 8,600 or 8,589 ounces, something like that, for the month of July. And, you know, if I look at that, multiply very simplistically, if I multiply that times 12, I'm getting upwards to 100,000 ounces, which is actually above, I think, what your PEA was predicting. So congratulations on that. But tell us, I mean, last time you and I talked about a month ago, and your average grade that was going to the mill was something like 1.3 grams per ton, and as I recall, the average grade for the deposit, at least the oxides, was something like maybe 2.1 grams per ton or so. So, and then I noticed that you've got 1.94 is where your latest grades were that you delivered to the mill. So somehow you've managed to improve your grade control dramatically, and I guess you're getting close to what you should be, I suppose. I'm just looking at the numbers. So tell us how you got there and how you've made such a great amount of improvement since the startup.
Yeah, most of what you're seeing here is refinement in the mining technique, but also grade control. The issue that we faced earlier this year is that the laboratory that we chose to run our grade control samples on a routine basis was just overwhelmed by business, basically. And unfortunately, they were not turning around our grade control samples as quickly as hoped. We were, getting about a third of what we needed. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the guys at site, it sounds crazy, but they were mining by visually. They were mining by sight. They were actually identifying geologically the boundaries of the mineralization. While that's a good technique, and they actually did a very good job of managing that for several months, it's not ideal. Okay, you can't assess just basic things like reconciliation, dilution, stuff like that. Everything that we can say to date, or at least before July, was a visual estimate. People say, well, what's your dilution? Well, we basically, we're mining a layer. So if we see, we can see about how much we're taking above and below that layer, and we have to visually estimate dilution. But now we have a laboratory that is delivering. Okay, we have I believe we had over 60,000 assays come back in July, and now we have that tool. We have basically the ability to differentiate things. So that helped tremendously. They as a consequence, have gone back and refined yet further their mining techniques, and I think the team is doing a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. So you're approaching that 1.0. Approaching that 2 gram per ton, are you mining just oxides at this time? And I know there's fresh rock that grades a little higher. Might you be mining that any time in the future at Beaton's Creek? Or is that in the distance?
The oxide is a bit lower. If you look at our resource statement, the oxide is a bit lower, not hugely lower, but it's a bit lower than the fresh rock. And part of that's because the bulk of the fresh rock, the higher grade, is coming from the M1 and M2 reefs, which dip off of Grants Hill and form a large part of the deposit below oxidation, okay, like below the level of oxidation. Okay, the results that you see here are actually in line, if not better, than what we predicted with the PEA. That's encouraging. It's very encouraging. I think that, you know, the results, it PEAs are plus or minus a very wide margin, as you know. Okay, so to hit, you know, have your target with the PEA and then hit above that, that's an exceptional outcome.
Yeah, indeed. Well, so it's really very encouraging. What about your run rate? How much? I know the last we talked, I think the last a month ago or so, you were at something like 1.6 million tons per year. I think the latest one you're approaching the 1.8, which I think is the capacity of the mill. Is that right?
We've been operating at over that level. Look, the guys have been very, creative is the word. They've made some physical modifications to the mill that allow I'm talking the ball mill, the thing that spins around, that allow the material to flow through quicker. Look, we don't have to grind our rock down to absolute bug dust because the recovery is so high. Begin with, it's a free milling gold system. So they made modifications that they can basically get rock through that mill quicker and into the gravity and leach circuits. And because of that, we think, you know, it sounds crazy, but we think we can operate at a significantly higher level, perhaps 2 million ton per annum. You know, it's speculation at this point, but we are seeing us, you know, the team's achieving that number on a daily basis quite often here lately. We are doing a tailings lift. What that means is that the tailings dam, think of it like a layer cake. Okay, it builds up, and they're doing another lift, which gives us a couple years runway here. So much of August is around that, which is important because we need that next lift in the layer cake, so to speak, to put our tailings for the next couple years. But once they get that done, you know, they've demonstrated they can throttle up and put tons to the mill.
I want to ask you about this is Beaton's Creek, and I know you've got other areas that you're quite interested in longer term, but just in terms of Beaton's Creek, how much upside is there? Because as I look at it, there's a lot of targets that you have in line just with the sort of the conglomerate stuff like you're mining now.
Yeah.
So do you see you can't say until you do the exploration, you drill and everything, but do you see Beaton's Creek itself, without going far away from Beaton's Creek, you've got other things going on, that Beaton's Creek itself could sustain a mine life of beyond a couple of years, which you've got now?
The PEA is, the life in the PEA is a little over 6 years. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I do think it'll grow from there. Basically almost every deposit on Earth, usually sees natural expansion, and Beaton's Creek is going to be one of them. We know we have lots of areas where the reefs, these layers, extend and then are not in a resource, or even areas that we have inferred resources that are not presently in the PEA that will likely come in over time. So, yeah, I think we'll see Beaton's Creek continue to grow. We have new targets we're testing. I think we talked about those in a couple of news releases over the past 6 months. Targets to the south and higher up section, and then on the west side of the basin as well. So we do think we have a lot of room to grow, and Beaton's Creek is going to provide that base load for many years to come.
And in that area, and it's not right in that area, I think it might be something like 150 kilometers away, you have the Taga project, which was mentioned in your last news release. And that is a different style. We're talking Beaton's Creek mostly about conglomerate deposits, but this is more of an orogenic, vein system that looks very exciting. I think the press release talked about 3 kilometers of strike that you've identified and some grades. I suppose they're surface grades, samples that you've picked up, but, you know, an ounce to 2 to 3 ounces, somewhere in that range. I mean, crazy stuff. Are you drilling that now? Are you exploring that? Might we see some numbers coming from there sometime soon? And the second question is, that's a ways away from your mill. So, I mean, high grade you can haul, but, I mean, what are your thoughts about the possibilities there?
Okay, so, look, Talga is a different style of deposit. It is an orogenic load deposit, and we have maybe 2 or 3 productive shear zones there. They're actually dipping at fairly moderate angles. You know, they're not vertical. They're dipping more like say 30 to 40 degrees, which actually is ideal for, you know, potential open pit mining. The wonderful thing about Talga-Talga is that it is high grade. Okay, there's some really flashy stuff there. There is a lot of coarse gold. It's different, you know, it's in quartz versus conglomerate like we have at Peaton's Creek. But we do think, guess what, mechanical sorting might play a role there. We do see the gold occurs associated with quartz vein. And, you know, we know that mechanical sorting can pick gold particles, but we also know mechanical sorters can, say, sort on the basis of quartz. You know, quartz is white, other rock is darker colored.
Okay.
This could be very exciting. But I would dare say that even without mechanical sorting, I think the grade at Talga-Talga could quite well be high enough that, you know, we can truck the 100 kilometers or so to the mill.
Well, that remains to be seen. And might we be seeing some assays from there anytime soon from Talga-Talga?
Yeah. Look, they're drilling there now. It'll be, you know, assay turnaround. Look, we have access to a lab now, so, you know, hopefully we'll pass that bottleneck. But I think we'll see assays over the next couple of months. Correct.
That's really exciting to think about the possibilities of mechanical sorting from there. But we'll wait and see. You have so many things going on, Quentin, besides Beaton's Creek, which is, I think, you know, I mean, it's probably not that exciting to a lot of people, but you have a lot going on there. And then I always have to ask you about some of those further away to the west, Karratha and
Eddie. Let's talk about them.
Yeah.
Look, now that we have Beaton's Creek, you know, more or less ramped up and in hand, we're going to start, full court press on some of the other initiatives that you're alluding to. Okay, Karratha, we want to test sort that material. We want to see if we can start generating high-grade concentrate from that material that can be trucked over to the Nulligan mill. As we've talked about a couple of times here recently, we are going to put that mechanical sorter at the mill facility in Nulligan. The guys are building the framework and stuff for it right now. That was a change of plan. We decided to do that because the mill is a permitted facility. It makes it easier for us to operate there. We will pull rock into that mill from Karratha as well as other sources. The Egina project, that will likely generate some samples that we can test. But we have other things, even like Talga-Talga that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, we can grab some tons up there and put it through the mechanical sorter and see if we can produce that upgrade material. Okay, so this is really the big picture here. Okay, Beaton's Creek and Nulligan is our base case. It's a foundation for the company. It should do quite well from here on out, and it should generate cash flow. What we want to do now is grow the company. Okay, so we've got, like you said, Talga-Talga as an exploration target, but we have other exploration targets in the Nulligan area. You know, we've got Beaton's Creek. It'll grow, but we have other things in the area too, so we're going to test a lot of those. In fact, we are testing a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Then Karratha and other projects we have that we haven't even discussed here, like Contact Creek and Virgin Creek. These are things that we see now that we have experience with conglomerate and we can demonstrate their viability, that we see being add-ons to the production story. I would dare say, you know, our goal in 4 or 5 years is to be producing considerably more gold out of this camp. Really, you know, set up the Pilbara as a gold-producing region.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly Egina is vast, as I understand it. It's not a small project necessarily. So I would think at some point in time you might want to, perhaps you'll be building a mill up there. I mean, that's way in the future, of course, but yeah. Is that a possibility? Because, yeah, I mean, otherwise you're going to have to expand. I would think you'd have to expand your mill at Nulligan.
Yeah, a little bit of flavor to that one, because Egina is a bit different. You know, that's the gravel at surface. So we don't really need a mill. It would be, it's more like an alluvial operation. You're going to mine it on site. You know, if we produce a concentrate, sure, that can be trucked over to Nulligan. That's no problem. Well, the wonderful thing about Nulligan, the mill there is, it is a workhorse. Okay. If we can get that up to say 2 million ton per annum, that should handle Beaton's Creek, but we can also start pulling in, you know, a few tens of thousands of tons of concentrate or ores from other sources. I'm not too worried about the ability for us to ramp things up without having, you know, say, significant capital outlays.
Yeah, spokes and wheels, sort of a
yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so also, all right, so you might have some information pretty soon regarding the mechanical sorting viability too then. If you bring bulk samples from Karratha down to Nulligan, run those, I mean, you should be able to say how effective they are, and I would imagine you'd be seeing some news along those lines too, right?
Yeah, I think by the end of this year we'll have some very, very tangible data that we can show to the market that this mechanical sorting effort is indeed viable. In fact, you know, inside as a company, we are already looking at this as likely going to be a success. So we're looking out at strategies where we can streamline to actually take it from field testing, we'll call it, to a, you know, potentially commercial situation. You know, so we got a good team in place. You know, one of the things I want to bring up as part of that is, part of our announcement yesterday is an addition to our management. Okay, Mike Spreadborough is now executive chairman, co-chairman with me. I'm here in Denver. I wish I could be there, you know, and work in 12, 14 hours a day with the crew, but I cannot go down to Australia. Mm-hmm. But Mike really stepped up to the plate over the past few months. He's been part of many of our meetings. And he's really got a sense of how, you know, how he can help and help grow the company. Okay, so a lot of these initiatives, we're talking about mechanical sorting and so forth, it's all about people, okay? And now we're expanding our team, we're expanding the capabilities of the team, you know, because they have more time, we'll call it, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what's really critical here. You know, Beaton's Creek is in hand, now let's start working on growth.
Yeah, so Michael is the co-chairman, the executive co-chairman. You will remain on as a chairman, and we'll be involved with the geology, whatever that involves. And I understand that you will also be available for future interviews like this one, possibly?
Absolutely. Look, I will. You know, I'd like to bring Mike and Rob in as well on some things here soon, because, you know, it's been all hands on deck down there, but now the guys have pulled it off. They've demonstrated, you know, what a wonderful job they can do. I really want to see that story told more. Rob's really, a lot of his passion's around mechanical sorting, and I think that what he's going to bring to the company over the next couple of years is going to be remarkable.
Before I let you go, just a comment perhaps on the financial condition of the company, and I believe that you had cash flow positive month in July. I'm wondering also, I think you're expensing exploration work on an ongoing basis too.
Correct. Yes.
So I imagine that your cash balances, which increased in July, also take into account money that goes out the door to finance exploration work, right? So
that's correct.
Just maybe a little overview on the financial standings of the company after about 6 months of production or so.
Sure. Look, I think in the news release we talked about the current balance and bank balance we have, and that's the way I like to think about things. You know, that's really the most meaningful. I believe it's about $49 million. I might be misquoting, but I'm pretty sure that was a number. It's gone up. I think went up around $3 million. Over the month, and that's a wonderful thing because, as you said, we are including the costs of exploration, and right now there is a lot of exploration going on. Okay, yeah, we had a full intent to just go, you know, full throttle with exploration back when we did that raise in April. That really gave us the assurance that we could throttle up, and the team is out there aggressively drilling many, many targets. You know, the objective there, let's add ounces to, like we were talking about earlier, let's add ounces to the story. Let's make sure that mill has plenty of rock in front of it for, you know, many, many, many years to come.
Right. All right. Well, it's really shaping up very nicely, Quentin. Thank you very much for spending time with us today and giving us an update. And I guess we have plenty of news to look forward to. Will you be providing monthly production statistics for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, look, we'll move to a quarterly reporting from here on out. Yeah, we're kind of through that ramp up phase, so I think, you know, from here on out, we need to report quarterly, more like a normal company, and then more of the news flow. I think you'll see starting in, say, September, will start to be results around expiration, expiration strategy, growth strategy, so forth, like that mechanical sorting. Like, we really want to show the market, you know, A, we're making money, we're making gold bars of Nulligan, but we want to show that we're going to grow from here too. So we need to get that that picture back in, you know, into people's minds.
Absolutely. Well, the production, as well as I think potentially very significant growth ahead of you. So thank you again, Quentin, for spending time with us. It's always great to hear from you, especially when you have good news. So, and most of the time you do. Thanks so much. All right, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away, because when we come back, Richard Mayberry is going to be with me to talk about the Great Eruption, or some people might talk about it in terms of the fourth turning, when everything that you thought is true turns out to be the opposite. So we'll see what Richard has to say about how we're going to deal with these uncertain times ahead. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Richard Mayberry.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in Central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henney.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.